Good morning, everybody. How are you today? It's good to see you. Did you enjoy the lead singers? Didn't they do a great job this morning? Yeah. Fantastic. So great to see young men and women that are using their talents for the Lord. Amen. And what great training ground it has been. I don't know if you know this or not, but our worship pastor, Lance Pierce, and our assistant worship pastor, Savannah Ogle, both were members of Lee Singers and did just great training. And we're so thankful that God has used that to train them and send them our way. And so remember, pray for Lee University. And if you have a student that is in high school and looking for a great place to learn and a great place to grow with Christ-centered education, they've got some information in the atrium right after service. I would encourage you to go over there and check that out. It's a great university, and I would love for your students to be involved in that as well. Well, today we're going to complete a series we started last week, so a two-part message series called Jacob and Esau. And so if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Last week we looked at Esau, and I encourage you to go back and listen to that message if you have not had a chance to. And the purpose of that message was to show us that it's important to protect your legacy. Esau, who had everything set up for him for success, sold everything that he had, literally sold his birthright and his legacy and his future for something like a bowl of stew. He came in one day and said, "I'm so hungry, I'm so famished." Asked his brother Jacob to give him some of that stew, and he said, "If you'll sell me your birthright," and he sold him his birthright. And the Bible says that in doing so, Esau despised his birthright. And I know it sounds ludicrous that someone would give up that much for a bowl of stew, but remember last week we said, you have a bowl of stew, and I have a bowl of stew, that if we're not careful, if you don't put safeguards and guardrails around, that that will affect you, that it can damage and derail your future if you're not careful. Today I want to talk to you from the other side of these twins, from the side of Jacob, where Jacob comes face to face with God. In chapter 32, verses 22 through 31, it says, "That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And after he sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. And so Jacob was left alone, and a man, which is a messenger, an angel of the Lord, wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. But the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So the man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. And then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you've struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' And Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, and he said, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' And so the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for this opportunity to share your word, and I pray you would anoint the words you've given me to say as they go forth, anoint our ears to hear them and our hearts to receive them, so that you may accomplish your perfect will, and we'll be careful to give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Up until this point, when we see Jacob now, nothing has gone according to his plans. If you remember from last week, Jacob so desperately wanted what he could not have that he tricked his brother into selling his birthright. Later, he will trick his father into giving him the blessing that is meant for the firstborn. And this is important because that blessing is seen as coming from God himself, and it flows through the father. And so what we find is Jacob deceives Esau and gets him to sell his birthright, and then deceives his father by going in and tricking him, putting on different clothes and putting hair on his arms to make him feel like he's his brother. If you remember, his brother's name is Esau. His parents were very original with their naming. The Bible says he came out as a baby and he was hairy, so they named him Esau, which means hairy. I don't know why they were so literal, but they were. So he goes and he disguises himself and literally steals the blessing. As Esau comes in wanting the blessing from his father said, "Who was this that came to me? Disguised as you and took the blessing." Esau was so upset and he said, no, no, give me my blessing. He said, no, I've blessed him and he's going to be blessed because it was under the authority of God that he blesses him. In deception even. And Esau says, is it no wonder that his name is Jacob? Once again, he's a twin, but he's the second one that comes out, holding on to his brother's ankle as he comes out. And they named him Jacob, which literally means heel grabber. It just meant he just grabbed, and it figuratively means deceiver. And Esau says, is it no wonder his name is Jacob? Because all he's ever done is deceive people. And that day, Esau said, after our father dies, watch out, Jacob. I'm coming after you and I'm going to kill you. Jacob flees from his home. The Bible says that his mother, Rebekah, sends him and Isaac sends him to her, where she's from, her home country, in order for him to find a wife. He goes to that country. He meets this woman. He falls madly in love with her. Her name is Rachel. She is beautiful. And he goes to her father. Her father's name is Laban. And he says, what will you give? I want to marry your daughter. And Laban says, what will you give me for my daughter? And he has really nothing. He doesn't have any possessions. He left in a hurry. And so he says, here's what I'll do. I'll tend your fields. I'll watch your livestock. I'll work for you for 7 years. You don't have to pay me a dime. Just give me her as my wife. And Laban agrees. 7 years later, as the marriage is taking place, they celebrate all during the day. And unlike the marriages today, there's a celebration that goes on. There's not a lot of vows that are spoken. But after the celebration was done, the bride would wait in the tent in the night. The bridegroom would come in. They would consummate the marriage, and they were officially married. Laban, instead of giving him Rachel, puts his older daughter, Leah, in. And Jacob goes in, consummates the marriage, and they are legally married. He wakes up. He realizes what has been done. He goes to Laban, his now father-in-law, and he says, what have you done to me? And he says, oh, it's our custom that the youngest doesn't get married. The oldest has to get married first. And he says, but that's not what I asked for, and that's not what I worked for. He said, it's okay. Work another 7 years, and I'll go ahead and give you Rachel now. And so, instead of 7 years for Rachel, he works 14 years for Rachel and Leah. And now there's a sibling rivalry going on. And this is the irony of it. The one who deceived so many people has now been deceived. He continues to work for Laban after those 14 years for 6 more years. Actually, Laban says, here's what I'll do. I'll pay you a wage and I'll give you some of the livestock. And Jacob says, just give me the weak ones. He said, you take all the good ones. I'll take the spotted ones. I'll do all of this. But after 20 years, Jacob realizes, the Bible says that Laban he's worked for him. And Laban in the last 6 years has changed his wages 10 different times and treated him deceptively. He is getting a large taste of what he has given over the years. And he decides to leave and go home. And on his way home, Esau has heard you're coming, and he's on his way to meet you. And he thinks, this is it. 20 years, Esau's been lying in wait, ready to kill me. And so out of fear, he sends his family and his livestock, and he sends them away in order to protect them, knowing the next day, he's going to come face to face with what he thinks is his biggest battle in his life, and that is Esau. What he doesn't know is on that night, he's going to come face to face with God himself through the angel of the Lord, and it will change everything. He is facing the biggest battle, struggle, difficulty of his life, and now he comes face to face with God. And now there's a struggle that ensues with the angel of the Lord, not with Esau, but with the angel of the Lord. And he's begging him to bless me. After all of these years trying to steal and deceive and take the birthright and the blessing that belonged to someone else, now he's with the angel of the Lord and he says, I want the blessing of God, because what he realizes is this. I have tried to get God's blessings that normally flows through the father, through the firstborn, but I've tried to go about it in the wrong way, and now I don't feel the blessing of God. I don't feel the birthright of God that comes to the firstborn that should be mine because of what happened. He says, I don't feel any of that. I'm alone, I am isolated, and I'm out of favor with everyone that I have met. See, here's the irony. He stole the birthright, which was he gets a larger inheritance. He gets more land. He gets more livestock. He gets the authority over his family. And then there's the blessing from God that he also stole that reigns on his family and the land that God has given him. Here's the irony. After stealing all of that, he's seen none of it because he's not even in his homeland. What he thought would satisfy him has driven him away, and now he comes face to face with God. There's two things I want you to see this morning, and then I want to pray for you. You're going to have struggles in your life. You're going to have times when you come face to face with God. And when you hit those struggles, what struggles will do is this. Struggles will sometimes strip you of all the pretense you have in your life. All the things that you try, the facades you try to put on, the fake things you try to do to make everyone else think you've got it all together, when you have a real struggle in your life, it strips away all those pretenses. All those things that you rely on, what you think is your wisdom, your knowledge, your strength, your power, all of those things fade when you hit a struggle that you cannot match or overcome on your own. I still remember in January of 1991 when, because of a struggle that I was going through, I had a face-to-face encounter with God, and it changed my life. And this is the reality that I learned, that Jacob learned, that we all have to learn is this. Struggles reveal who and whose we really are. They reveal who and whose we really are. Look with me again at verse 27. It says, the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. And then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. And then he blessed him there. Remember, Jacob means heel grabber. It means deceiver. Genesis chapter 25 tells us his father Isaac loved and preferred Esau, and his mother, Rebekah, loved and preferred Jacob. So all he's wanted his life was for a father, his father, to give him the attention, the affirmation, the blessing that he desires that would flow down from God above. And when he doesn't receive it, he tries to take it by deception and by manipulation. But the angel, when he meets him, this messenger, this man of God, when he meets him, he asks him, what is your name? Now, the angel knows his name. The angel knows why he's there. He knows how he's gotten there. He knows his past. He knows all the deception that has gone on in his life. He knows all of this. He doesn't ask him for his name for the angel's benefit. He's asking Jacob to come to terms with the man that he has been all his life. Before he can receive the blessing of God, he's got to admit who he is before God. You see, God will not bless what you will not confess. You've got to come face to face with the reality of who you really are. This was me in 1991. This was me. I was a college student. I was born and raised in a pastor's home. I knew the ways of the Lord. I knew what I was supposed to do. But listen, I chose to be rebellious in those times. And I thought I had it all together. And I tried to convince people. I tried to convince all of my friends around me, in my circle of friends, in my fraternity, that I was good enough to be in the in crowd. I tried to convince my professors that I was going to be a success. I tried to convince my parents that they should be proud of me. I tried to convince all the people I went to church with on Sundays that I was religious enough and belonged in that, but secretly rebelling against the Lord. At some point, you've got to come face to face with the reality when the Lord looks at you and says, "What is your name?" Because for Jacob has to admit, my name is Jacob, And I've been a deceiver all of my life. And everything that I thought I wanted and I could get through deception and manipulation has fallen apart. For me, it was admitting all of the things that I'm trying to convince everybody else of, they are absolutely false. And in and of myself and on my own, I have an absolute failure. But this is the beauty of it. Once Jacob admits that he has failed God, that he has tried to do things on his own, he admits it to the Lord, God then gives him what he's always wanted, real significance, authentic relationship with God. And the Bible says that then he pours out his blessing. What he has desired all his life and tried to get on his own, now God pours it out in abundance on him and tells him, you will never be the same. And then God actually does something. This week, as I studied, that I've never seen before. God takes his greatest weakness and turns it into a strength. Jacob's name is heel grabber. He has laid hold of someone else's promises all his life. Someone else is what belongs to them. He has tried to take it. And he says, you're no longer Jacob. Now you're Israel, which means struggles and prevails with God. Literally, instead of laying hold of Esau's promises or something that doesn't belong to you, you have laid hold of God and refused to let go of him until he blesses you truly. And so he takes one who was a deceiver of men and becomes a receiver of the blessings of God, from a deceiver to an overcomer. The thing that he used to do was cling to something else. Now he clings to God, and now he has overcoming power. Can I just tell you something? When you come to the end of yourself and you realize that all of your efforts in and of yourself are futile, and you cling to God instead of the ways you tried to accomplish things, now you become an overcomer. Now you become a conduit of blessing. Now God pours out the things that you have sought for all of your life. Real, authentic significance. Your struggles reveal who and whose you are. The second and last thing I want you to see in this is that you will walk differently after you overcome. When you struggle, really struggle, and you have a face-to-face encounter with God, you're not going to walk the same as you did. Look with me at verse 25. It says, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Literally what it means when it says he could not overpower him, he could not make him let go. And so he touched the socket of his hip and basically put it out of joint. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed that place, Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. He will forever walk now with a limp because he's changed. He now walks with a limp, but he now walks stronger than he's ever walked before. He has a physical limp, but now he has a spiritual strength. He's been trying to accomplish things through worldly power, but now he's accomplishing things by submitting to the authority and the lordship of God, praying literally, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will am I trying to accomplish anymore. See, when you used to walk in timidity, now you walk in authority because you have clung to God and God makes you an overcomer. When you used to walk in arrogance, now you can walk in quiet humility and strength because you know that it is not because of anything that you've done, because literally all you've done is held on to the promises of God and God has given you the victory. He will walk with a limp for the rest of his life, but it's not a normal limp. It's a holy limp. And it will remind him that the God who could strike him and wound him at any time instead chooses to bless him. Jacob was a man who succeeded in life through deception. But after the struggle, after he refuses to let go, after the angel of the Lord, the messenger, blesses him. The messenger leaves. The messenger is gone. But so is Jacob. And Israel now stands where Jacob once stood. Because he will never walk the same again. That is one thing that I know that is true in my life. Every struggle that I have faced that feels like it is going to overwhelm me, when the Lord brings you through and overcomes, you won't be the same person you were when you started it. You can't stay the same after a struggle. You either lean into God or you lean away from Him. You either cling and hold on to the promises of God or you push Him away. I told you in 1991, I had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord where I had to admit, this is who I am. My life changed. The Lord forgave my past, forgave my sins, changed my life, changed my destiny, all of those things. But it literally started a few months prior to that. When I faced at that point in my life, the greatest struggle I was ever going to face at that point, which was the death of my college roommate, my fraternity brother, my best friend, with heart failure suddenly that no one expected. No one knew. And my world went into a tailspin for a few months. At that time, it was the greatest struggle I've ever faced. As you live longer, you face more struggles, right? Most of you know our family's going through a struggle right now. For now, the third time, my wife is battling cancer. And this time, it's the most serious, stage 4. The doctors don't give a whole lot of hope, but we know that the doctors don't have the final say, amen? But here's what I know. This is what I know, not what I want, not what I hope. This is what I know to be true. Is that even though the battles get more intense each time, I'm not the same person I was when the battle started, when the struggle begins. Can I tell you something? I don't want to go back to who I was. I don't want to go back to who I was in 1990. I don't want to go back to who I was in 2006. When she first faced it, or 2018. I don't want to go back to the man I was 8 months ago when this started, because here's what happens. If you'll struggle and hold on, God will change you. And God will hold on to you, and you will grow, and you will know Him in a way that you've never known Him. It's what the Apostle Paul says. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. And I know everybody wants that. Yeah, give me the power. But listen, Paul goes on and says, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. And I want to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. Whatever He takes me, I want to know exactly what Jesus wants me to know, who He wants me to be, and what He wants me to become. I want you to know something. Some of you are struggling right now. You are holding on in desperation. You are clinging to hope right now. And listen to me. You have to make a decision. I will hold on. I will cling to hope until Christ brings me through His overcoming power. You have to know that, and have to know that He's changing you and changing you from who you used to be into an overcomer. And it will change the story that people tell about the Lord in your life. There's a verse that I didn't even include, but it says, to this day, the Israelites refuse to eat any of the section of an animal near the hip joint because they remember and they honor the change. The wound that you may feel and the struggle that you may endure will be the testimony that changes other people's lives. The Lord's promised it. There's an old song that we used to sing when I was growing up. And the words say, Jesus knows your hurt. Jesus knows your pain. Jesus knows just how you feel because He's felt just the same. Jesus knows your need better than you do. Just hold on to Jesus. He's holding on to you. Some of you need to cling to that hope today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Listen, the most important face-to-face encounter you'll ever have. It was when the Lord comes to you through his Holy Spirit with conviction, convincing, that says, you're not where you need to be. I'm calling you into this relationship with me. Some of you, when you walked into this room this morning, when you started watching online, you know things weren't right between you and the Lord. You just need to pray something like this today. Mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the things that you have done for me, for dying on the cross, for rising to new life, for giving me hope that's available to me. I ask for your forgiveness, but I also declare to you today that you're Lord. It's your Lordship. Lead my life through your word and through your spirit. I will never be the same. Now, would everyone in the room just pray this prayer profession with me? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, one more time. Jesus, I give you my life. Now, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, I'm not embarrassing you. I want to pray for you this week. I want to hold you up in prayer. But you say, that's me. I made that decision today. I'm following him for the first time or the first time in a long time. That's me. Would you just raise your hand really high while no one's looking around, please? I want to pray for you. Amen. Just hold them up just a moment more. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. You can put them down now with your head still bowed. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I've got a struggle right now, and I am finding it difficult. I've come to the end of myself, and I am clinging right now to the Lord. And I just want you to pray for me this week. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Be honest. Amen. You're not alone. There are hands all over this place. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for lives that have been changed, for hope that has been restored, and for destinies that have been changed today because of what you've done. Lord, I ask that every person that has committed their hearts and their lives to you, that they would feel the joy of the Lord in their life, in their salvation. Lord, for those in this room right now, that they said, Lord, I'm clinging. I'm holding on. I'm at the end of myself, and all I can do is hold on to you. God, I pray that you give them the strength to not give up, to continue to hold on. And Lord, as they hold on to you, cling to them, O Lord. Pour your blessings out on them, I pray. And at the same time, Lord, develop them with an overcoming faith. And I pray that that when they come through, Lord, that the change that takes place in them, that people would notice and they would give glory and honor to you and you alone because you deserve it. Lord, as every one of us face struggles, don't let us go back and be the person we used to be, but help us to grow in the power of your resurrection, in the fellowship of your suffering, and become more like you. Because we know we're one day going to see you face to face. And all of this that we struggle with right now, you said in your word, would be light and temporary when compared to the eternal joy that awaits us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We believe that now in faith. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, can you celebrate with me? 7 people gave their hearts to Jesus today. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. Allow me the privilege to bless you before you go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Let's give our response from Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you, folks. Love you. Have a great week.